During this week, I was driving down Sage Road from Melanesia Road. It was typically full of parked cars and no room for two-way traffic. I dutifully pulled over and let about three cars through, and then went to move forward as the car coming the other way had pulled to the side. My turn, I thought. However, that was not to be. Instead, the car behind the car that had pulled into the side simply overtook it and came on through, as did another car behind that. Finally, the pulled over car flashed their lights. I drove through, and then they had their turn, a bit of a wave to that car. It was a crazy moment as I reflected on Auckland drivers, and then I thought about it a bit more. And I had just spent a couple of hours with these two readings about Peter and had been reflecting on how we learn to discern the work of the Holy Spirit, how we catch glimpses of God at work. And here before me was this classic example of our discipleship, whether we're able to slow down enough to read the signs, or whether we're so focused on where we think we need to be that we just move on through in spite of what's actually happening around us. I don't think I need to unpack that any more for you, but rather I'll leave that story for you to think about and about which driver you might be this week. So this morning I want to focus on Peter and his journey of becoming, a journey of discipleship that seemed to also be a lot about learning discernment. Peter, who used to be called Simon, but Jesus renames him to the term that means rock and speaks of a rough or tough character. Peter, who we meet in each of the Gospels and in the book of Acts, but who was also written about in other accounts. Peter, who was a fisherman with his brother Andrew and another set of brothers, James and John, married from Capernaum, whose mother-in-law was healed by Jesus in their home. Peter, who was called to follow Jesus while he was out fishing. Peter, who walked on water and sank. Peter, who denied Jesus. Peter, who would give a remarkable sermon on the day of Pentecost, who would be imprisoned for his faith, who would lead the early church, who would eventually be crucified. Self-confident, affectionate Peter. Devoted, energetic, bold Peter. Impulsive, quick to jump to conclusions, slow to understand Peter. Courageous Peter. The story of Peter is a remarkable one, and for me, most remarkable in its ordinariness. Because Peter ended up famous and a well-known leader, but mostly his story is very human, very ordinary. It's a story of becoming more like Jesus, becoming the person God was calling him to be. So yes, I guess the thing that stands out most for me when I look at Peter is that he is incredibly human, and I feel like I have walked in his shoes often. And here, when we read these two passages from John and from Acts, we get this opportunity to see how Peter grew, a bit like before and after shots of a makeover. And just like those magazine makeovers, yep, been there, done that, we can too easily emphasise the bad before and the good after, when in reality it's a lot more murky than that. But there is a huge change that occurs. Let's start with the passage from John. It's a long reading, but I wanted to focus particularly on the parts of it that include Peter. He's there in Jerusalem. It's evening and Peter is having supper with Jesus and the other disciples when suddenly Jesus gets up from the table, grabs a towel, ties it round his waist and pours water into a basin. There's this group of friends in the middle of eating their dinner and Jesus starts washing their feet. They had already washed their hands for the meal. But did they really need clean feet for dinner? When Jesus gets to Peter and he says, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus says, you don't know what I'm doing, but later you will understand. Peter says, you will never wash my feet. To which Jesus says, unless I wash you, you have no share with me. So Peter is all in. Not only my feet then, do my hands, my head, my hands. Only your feet need cleaning, Peter. And with an allusion to Judas being unclean, Jesus goes ahead and washes Peter's feet. And when he's finished, Jesus asks, you know what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, which is right. So if that's the case, and I have washed your feet, I have set you an example to follow, something that you need to do too. If you get this, and you do it, you'll be blessed. Then there's this bit about Judas and him leaving, and then Jesus turns his attention back to the disciples and says that the Son of Man has been glorified. Has been glorified. Which is kind of a bit surprising at this point in the story. We think of Jesus being glorified on the cross, at the resurrection, at the ascension. But here John records Jesus saying, I have been glorified. Glorified in this act of washing disciples' feet. Washing even the feet of Judas. So we need to clarify what John meant when he wrote about being glorified. For John, being glorified is talking about the way God is revealed. So in that servant act of foot washing, the disciples have seen God being revealed to them. And then Jesus goes on to tell them that he's going to go where they cannot come. But their job is to love as he has loved, as he's just shown them how to love. Love that looks like a servant washing their feet. Servant love that puts on a towel, bends down and washes dirty feet. That kind of love. Those words of Jesus must have stuck with Peter beyond all the events to come of Jesus' death, resurrection and ascension. Those words that spoke to him of who he, Peter, was to become, a servant leader. He would have to get his own hands dirty as he served. And then we get this later glimpse of Peter sometime on, as the call of Jesus on his life was sifting its way through his whole being. Peter had learnt to have a servant heart. And then he was learning that that servant heart was needing to be offered to more people, the whole world, not just those chosen ones that he thought were worthy. The passage we read from Acts 11 summarises that whole story offered in full in the previous chapter. The story of when Peter was in Joppa and he had that vision of the sheet lowered before him full of creatures that he had been taught to consider were unclean. And he's told to eat them. And he refuses, nobly. But he's told three times that he's to eat it before he actually obeys. How many times God needs to repeat things to us before we grasp the truth. But the vision is then put into practice when three men immediately arrive at the house that he's staying at, and he grasps that the Spirit is telling him to go with them, even though they were considered unclean. And so they go together, and they eat together. And Peter shares the good news of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit falls on them. It is so much about hospitality, not just offering a table to others, but we're being willing to sit at their table. Easter's new reality involves people of God living in the Spirit in new ways. Mission is realized as going out and receiving the hospitality of others rather than simply welcoming others into our space where we're in control. Peter was being challenged to comprehend the bigness of the grace of God being offered. To understand the enormity of this, we need to know that historically, the idea of Gentiles becoming full members of people of faith with no prior conditions being met would have been seen as bizarre, at least. The Torah was clear on the expectations of what was required for a Gentile to draw near to God. So to go against all of that is a deeply painful conversation for Peter and the other disciples. There is high risk as they comprehend what God is actually saying to them. But in retrospect, we see God was at work. Peter was being required to discern the work of the Holy Spirit. So when Peter returned to Jerusalem, and the first thing the believers there say to him is, how dare he eat with unclean people? Peter explains his vision. And he explains that it was God at work. And who was he to hinder that? And so Peter becomes this bridge of understanding, and would become a further bridge between James and Paul in the early church, holding together that diversity of the church. While we get caught up with what is clean and what is unclean, Jesus is saying, get on and love. We can look at Peter's discipleship journey, his journey of becoming, which is our journey of becoming too. Learning to love and serve in the midst of abandonment and betrayal. Learning to discern the moving of the Holy Spirit, even or especially when it's amongst the people we have already judged unworthy. God shows no partiality, and this has surprising implications for our mission as church. This incredibly wide embrace that God extends is what we are part of offering. Hospitality and welcome become key ways to proclaim God's salvation. So it is with our becoming. As we work to become the people who follow Jesus, we too need to learn to discern where and how God is at work through the Holy Spirit. It's a learning process. Doesn't mean you'll get it right every time, but you will learn as you go. The work of the Holy Spirit is a discernment process, and the Spirit is not something that we can own. Just because we are filled with the Spirit remains something much larger than us. We will never contain the Spirit, but rather the Holy Spirit will fill us, empower us, challenge us, guide us, lead us, accompany us. And like Peter, sometimes our discernment will not happen until we have recognized God at work in hindsight. As we go back over, step by step, in an orderly process, as we hear Peter did in verse 4, explaining to the believers in Jerusalem, giving that orderly account, which used a term that meant not so much a chronological order, but that it's done in a meaningful way, then we grasp more fully how God has been working in our midst. Like Peter, we may be slow learners. We may require a whole picnic lowered in front of us and still not comprehend, still need to be told time after time after time. The work of discernment is not easy. It includes memories of Jesus and scripture and consultation, but it is a very real task for us as people who are seeking to become more like Jesus. So be it. Amen. Let's